radioactive weapon.
Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. We'd like to wish everybody a Happy New Year. And we are returning from an extended holiday break. We are glad to be back, and we hope everybody's family is doing well. And we will continue to fill in our missing pages of history. Today's program, we're going to discuss some past events and issues that took place in the year 2015, as well as we're going to talk about the upcoming election, and more importantly, missing pages we're going to be doing this year, 2016, to build our communities. So discuss these matters this evening. We'd like to welcome our analysts and contributors, Emmanuel and Susan. We welcome both of you. Emmanuel, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you.
Susie, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you.
Let's start off just discussing what we'd like to do. We've come into a new year. This is a new year, 2016. Like always, you know, there's always a time to do a reflection on the past so we can be in a position to have a better future. When we do a reflection on the past year, 2015, Emmanuel, what are some of the key stories, events that come to your mind that you would like to maybe just share today with our listening audience?
Well, some of the key things we did last year in our in Missing Pages of History was the series on the history of policing in the United States. And we can't reemphasize that enough, the justice system. It needs to be totally overhauled, needs to be totally be dismantled. Crime is control, and crime pays. And what we're saying is that when it all began, basically back in the latter 1600s and 1700s, it was basically a watch system. And they're still watching today systematically. But when I say crime pays, it pays. If people understand exactly how jobs are created through the criminal justice system, but all it does basically defining social control as crime control. So what they did, what I talked about was the dangerous classes. And the dangerous classes of people have been basically denominated to African Americans, Hispanics, or minorities. And like I say, you have a twofold system. So you got the criminal justice system and you got the police system. That's the twofold that you have. How each one helps the other. It's not about safe streets. It's not about these things. They have to lock up people because it's money involved. It needs to be reformed, dismantled, totally dismantled to get the systematic racial divide in the system. There's no way possible, and it should not be no way possible, that the population of the United States ethnicity, African American, is 12.5%, and you're in the prison system over 70%. That's totally impossible. You're doing it for a reason, because it pays. A little, might say, a little note, you can take this note I'm about to give you and understand where I'm coming from. This is probably something that you'll that you don't probably don't know, but your tax money. If they, especially the prisons that are under siege, they're under siege by a certain group of people. Basically, former wardens, police chiefs, attorneys, judges, and they call basically private prisons, a privatization of prisons. They're building quite a few in Florida, Texas, California. This is where most of, you might say, ethnic groups, that's where they live. They might be building a few in Arizona. But these are main three states they build in private prisons. California, Florida, Texas. Well, the sentencing in these three states are very severe to African Americans and other ethnicities like Latinos, Puerto Ricans, Dominican Republicans. So when you look at this, who are they locking up? Because again, crime pays. What they need to do, if that jail cell in a private prison is not, don't have a body in it or an occupant, the state pays and the federal government pays for the cell being empty. So the cells cannot be empty. They have to lock up people and keep them there to get that money. So they're going to make sure they do this. The lowest court, probably the traffic court, where you get citations for things like your license plate hanging down or a signal light not working or a broken windshield. Just minor things that police can arrest you for. Hope to agitate you so they can get another two or three charges, assault or this or that, where they assault you, but they're going to say you assaulted them. So this is the thing. You have a very, very lying police department. They need lies to survive. They survive on lies and intimidation and false pretense. They need to lock somebody up. And who do you want to lock up? They know you can't afford a lawyer. They know you from a poor neighborhood, poverty. That's where they're going to be in most of the time. This is mostly the arrests are made, because they can make these easy arrests. These are easy, they fabricate and everything else, because where you live, where your zip code is, they know where to be at. You tell them stay outside of a bar or nightclub in the middle of town or downtown or where people are very prominent at, come out there with a DUI drunk, but they're not going to bother, they're not going to be there. They were someplace where poverty-stricken people are, to take what they got and lock them up. When they come out, they can't get a job, so you're going to do something. It's creating crime. The thing is, how do we create crime? There are think tanks out here to make sure that crime is created and to make sure the ethnic group they're going to create for it. So understand what I'm saying, that this is all about control for crime. It's all about controlling and make sure that the politicians and the politician functionaries are for this crime machine. It's a machine, a systematic machine. In return, the police have virtual carte blanche in the use of force and, again, to control this through solicitation. And accepting this has have organized the police fraud. Understand what's going on here. Crime pays. It cost basically $105,000 to keep an inmate in prison. In the federal pen. Also in the state. For the private prisons, they charge you $65,000. So they're saving basically $40,000 plus, and $105,000 plus. So this is what we got going. It created a lot of jobs. A lot of jobs inside the prison system. And look who's in there doing the jobs. Look who the instructors are. The case I'm familiar with is the one in New York. She was a tailor making almost $60,000 a year, $50,000 a year. Well, the guards don't even make that. But the guards make $30,000 a year. Don't make no money. And who had those jobs? Look and see who had those jobs. Not African Americans. Nope. The warden jobs are 91%, white, basically. 91%. But you got 7% of blacks in there. Why the blacks aren't wardens? It's all about the money. Everything is about the money. They make sure they keep themselves in a superior position 90% of the time, regardless of who the population is or ethnicity of the population. And it pays money. They're not going to take a job, don't pay no money. We have to change that toll dynamics. We have to change the police departments. We got to change the councils. We got to change the DAs. We got to change all of this to represent the community. Got a community like, again, Ferguson, over 70% African American, and you got 2 black police officers, I think, out of 50. 2. Well, because the job pays money, pays good retirement. Fire department the same way. These are things we have to understand that we have to penetrate and make sure that we have a reaction to it. And we have to engage and organize the election frauds that's going on and become elected officials. We have to be a political functionary. We have to be that. In this machine of politics and also in the criminal justice system. So as I close on some of the things we've talked about, it was the largest one I talked about, the history of police in the United States, and I'll probably be doing that again this year, coming to try to get that penetratable in our minds, things we have to do. We got to control the history, the new history, you might say, of police. We have to make a new history because, again, this is a systematically done. And most of this is a non-law enforcement functions. They make up their own laws. They start off again, they intimidate you, they scare you, and they have this notoriety lie that's out there. I feared for my life, like you're not fearing for your life. When you see a police officer, if it's a child, he got his gun out. On a 10, 12, 11, 12-year-old child, he got his gun out. Child ain't got nothing. On the knees, still got the gun out. You're a grown man on a 12-year-old child. You shouldn't even be a police officer. You can't control a 12-year-old child without a pistol. You got a problem. So every black American should fear for their life. And that should be development of policy in your mind. Make up your own policy that you fear for your life. Let's make this our new motto. When the police come, be sure to keep your cameras out, get your videos out, because I know this is who they are. They've been like this since the latter 1500s, 1600s, they've been like this. The history of the police department starts where you started from the watch system. And basically they got people that was basically just people that was not doing anything at all. They weren't doing anything. They were volunteers. And they were conscripted into force by the town or where they lived at, basically. And but again, it was a supplement to the police force, the watch system. They have neighborhood watch now. That's who they think they are. But again, we have to understand that policing in the United States, the history of it, is definitely a part of the massive social and the political changes that are occurring in the United States now. So, in ending this conversation about the police department and the departments around in this country, how racist they are. They are very racist. Most of the profile of people that do this are very racist. And most of them is a lot of nepotism. The father police officer, the grandfather one. But understand the 21st century. With the new science, with the new emphasis on science and technology, and particularly related to citizen surveillance, what I'm saying is get that camera out as much as you can. And, of course, the new militarization of the SWAT teams they got now. So understand, both these SWAT teams are paramilitary. Understand the community pacification they're trying to give us. But, again, let's do not replay the failures of history and the policies of the future.
We thank you, Emmanuel. We're going to go to Susan. To give me your major events or stories for 2015.
Okay. For 2015, a lot of the major events or stories that went on was actually dealing with the police and individuals, especially minority individuals. And one was, this actually was a continuation from 2013 with the acquittal of George Zimmerman with the death of Trayvon, which led to the creation of Black Lives Matter, which was actually in 2013, even though we really just began to hear about it when they had the uprising because of Michael Brown and Eric Garner. In the states of Missouri, New York, and Baltimore, and also, which Black Matters was also fueled more by the Walter Scott and Freddie Gray. It was an outcry by everyone in 2015. That's just one of the events. And then we had the prison escape in New York with David Sweat and Richard Matt, which involved one of the workers at the prison who helped them escape by giving them tools to use that was placed in frozen meat. And this was done at the Clinton Correctional Facility. And on June the 26th, one of them was killed, and the other one, David Sweat, he pled guilty to all of the charges related to the escape. And last, with our historic Emmanuel A.M.E. Church, this Charleston church shooting, where Dylan Wolf was charged with 33 counts, including murder, fire, is also a federal hate crime. Those are just some of the unfortunate events that we had of 2015.
2015 seemed to be a very turbulent year as relates to violence, particularly among young urban youth in the cities. What I'm going to do right now is just make a brief announcement that you are listening to Missing Pages of History, and we'd like to let all our supporters and the public know that the Missing Pages of History quarterly rapid drawing has been extended from today, which is January the 30th to February the 23rd. Yes, it has been extended to February the 20th, correction, February the 20th, at 1 p.m. on WCLM. We have a standing quarter Rapid Jordan, so if you have not purchased your ticket, it's not too late. You still, you can do so by contacting one of its members or calling us at 804-726-3217. At the same time, we are continuing our winter spring cap and t-shirt drive. If you haven't purchased your t-shirt and cap yet, please do so by going to our website, www.mphinc.org, and place your purchase, or you can contact one of our members. So we want to let you know that your support is greatly appreciated. Without your support, there can be no missing pages of history. So let's just continue the discussion, and if you have any views or comments concerning 2013 that you'd like to share with us, we invite you that you can call in at 818-337-0016. 818-337-0016, and hit number 1, and we will acknowledge your last four numbers, as well as you can go to our chat line. So this is Missing Pages of History, and we will continue our discussion. At this point in time, Emmanuel, we would like to also talk a little bit about this whole question of upcoming elections. What's going on in the election? Just give our people your analysis of what's going on with the election and how can we use it to benefit us in the future.
Well, at the moment, of course, you've got the caucuses in Iowa, you know, South Carolina, New Hampshire, but mainly Iowa, of course, in New Hampshire. Understand, people, that New Hampshire and Iowa do not run this country by a long shot. You're going into an area that's probably less than 10% minorities, more like 5% minorities where they're going to. So you see who they're catering to. Well, if you don't basically win five states, California, Illinois, New York, Pennsylvania, Florida, that's states that win the election. Iowa and New Hampshire are never going to predict anything. I'm telling you why they go there. Because it's basically white. Why they go there. They go to the cause again. They're not a friendly minority, it's only for work. So you look at New Hampshire and look at Iowa, that's about nothing, basically. That's about nothing. Don't even pay that no mind. Don't even participate in that. If you look at those elections that they're just, you know, participating, I call it the pre-elections, trying to pick a candidate from the Republican Party, you see how scatterbrained they are. And most of them are very racist, but that's what they are. So they go to states that are basically racist to a certain point. They don't have any minorities there, whatever. They know what the deal is. They stop because they have money. They have money. They have money persuasion, and they hope that Iowa and New Hampshire, persuade this country. But that doesn't work. I told you before what five states run this basically. If you don't get these 10 states, you can forget it. I'm going to put in New Jersey. I'm going to put in Maryland. These states are very difficult. They got electoral votes, electoral college votes. Of course, you have Florida, of course, and you got Texas. But those are the states that basically run this country. They are economic powers. California is probably the 10th largest economical power in the world. And that's a state. California is just that strong in economics. So you don't look at nobody like Iowa. That's basically almost a welfare state where the government gives them a lot of money. Same as Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, you know, places like Oregon. These are basically welfare states. They get a lot of subsidized money, a lot. But nothing happens there. Nothing goes there, basically. It's too cold. So these states you don't pay no mind. Don't pay New Hampshire and Iowa any mind at all. They're trying to make it out of something. But nothing happens until you go to New York. Nothing happens until you go to California. Nothing happens until you go to Illinois, until you go to Pennsylvania, your New Jersey, your Florida, your Texas. This is where everything happens. These states are the pulse of America. They make things. They manufacture things. They got the big job market. They pay the most money. And, of course, one state, North Carolina. It's your East Coast, you might say, Silicon Valley, opposed to, you know, in Frisco. So, again, they're looking at the polls. You're polling New Hampshire. You're polling places. You're polling Iowa. Nobody even go there. It's about nothing. But they're trying to persuade you with all this craziness. Now we go to some of the candidates. You're Donald Trump. How would you put a man in anywhere near the presidency done file bankruptcy four times? Go bankrupt the country. That's all you know how to do. You don't pay nobody. Bankruptcy, you didn't pay somebody. Don't want to pay nobody. So how do you even deal with someone like this? You can't deal with stupidity. Ask him about the bankruptcies. Who didn't get paid? Who didn't he pay? He automatically eliminates in my book. Mr. Cruz, born in Canada. Stone racist, Tea Party candidate. Don't even deal with him. He's totally stupid. Been stupid for a long time. To go to Harvard and be stupid is very, it's not unclassified. It's a lot of them are stupid. Because, again, it's all about the money. What you can control. It's about controlling. Well, Mr. Bush, who wants another Bush up in there? You saw what Bush did. This Bush is the same Bush. Apple don't fall too far up on the tree. Of course, my candidate is Hillary Clinton by a long shot. Nobody close. So, as I look at them and what they talk about policy-wise, everything else, she's far and above everyone else. They're into name-calling and everything else. That's all they do, insult people and talk about President Obama, who's through. You can't win an election on Obama. How are you going to win an election on him? You don't pay him no mind. Never have paid him any mind. From the beginning, they said what they're going to do, and they would want to do. Make sure you don't pass anything he put out there. Even on things they voted on before and voted yes on, we're going to vote no on him because he put it out there. It's all about pigmentation. It's all about race. Always going to be about race. If they can't use you to make any money for them, they don't need you, basically. You're here to make money. We're in the entertainment world, we're in the sporting world. Regardless, you're here to make their money. Put you in the prison system, make it money. Everything they're going to make sure, because they're still mad at you because you're not slaves anymore. And you're not indentured servants no more. They're still mad. They're always going to be mad. They're going to stay. This whole thing, when I do the subject matter on race, religion, and racism, I'm going to bring all of this out. Obama, by the way, was not our first black president. We had five more, by the way. Wait till I bring that to you. So I want everybody to tune in 2016. It's going to be some eye-opening history. I didn't write it. They wrote it. I'm just bringing it, exposing it. Missing pages, it will be exposing the missing pages of history in 2016. Again, you're going to get an education that you never had before. You'll be looking at books and almanacs and looking at encyclopedias, going to the library, Barnes and Noble. So, my God, where are you getting it? It's in books. It's all there. Nobody wants to read it, understand it. But we're going to talk about the 1/16th. The 1/16th. And like I said before, there are no Puerto Ricans. There are no Latinos. There is no Dominicans, no Hispanics. You're either black or you're white. That's the way they look at it. There's no other way.
Emmanuel, let me just stop you right there. And we have some callers who've been waiting patiently. We're going to give them 1 minute to make a statement concerning 2015 with events that was very significant to them. And we'll come back to you and Susie. We're going to our caller who's been waiting patiently, caller 3330. Caller 3330. Welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Yes, I'd like to make a comment. And this is in continuation on regarding one of the events about how this has been an ongoing trend. It's not anything new. as you talk about the legal system, something a lot of callers may not know is that in Mississippi, there are certain low-level courts where judges, all the minimum requirement they need is a high school diploma. But what's damaging is if they get enough years of experience, they can move up to the higher court without necessarily going to school like others do. So that's where you get a problem in regards to the mentality they would express, because there's nepotism in place where experience will supersede any kind of skills that will be needed to get to a higher court because of the rule that they can get on the course by only having a high school diploma, and that's the lower course in Mississippi.
Caller, that's very dangerous. We thank you for your information, and we'll respond to that later on. Let's take this next caller. We are caller 4298. Caller 4298. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your question or comment, please, caller.
Yes, I'd just like to say I'm a Marxist, and we, the point is not to understand the world. The point is to change the world. And since World War II, we've been on a united front against fascism with the Democratic, the Socialist, and the Communist parties. And you know, Hillary Clinton is a reactionary. Hillary Clinton is just a step away from Cruz and the rest of the Republicans. If anybody in the Democratic Party has anything progressive to say, it's Bernie Sanders, and that's how I see the things. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Carl. Okay, we're going back to our contributors and editors. Emmanuel, the first caller, talks about the danger, and Susie, they talk about the danger of, in some of the southern states, you only just need your high school diploma to be a judge or to serve in the criminal justice system. Where you make decisions affect people's lives. How do you deal with that, Emmanuel?
Well, number one, I'd like him to send us some information on that, tend to, you know, to our organization. And that's where I can probably do some research, how many states are like that, and make sure what he said is, you know, I'm quite sure it's true, because, I've heard it before, but I didn't pursue it. I knew it happens. It happens everywhere. And almost, you know, in the different areas of the criminal justice system, nepotism is number one, almost in any system. That's the first thing to get promotion, your family. That's the way it has been, you know, for the longest time. I'll go back to the caller number two. Again, Hillary Clinton is the best candidate by a long shot. Bernie Sanders, he can't do what he says he's doing. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't quite work that way. He's going to do. You want to dismantle the health system. Why do you want to dismantle it? It's the best thing ever came along. You look at all the good things that happened. Democracy is the answer. When were you watch a day, it wasn't for Democrats. The word re, R-E, in front of everything means there's a problem. I don't know what people, the problem, repeat. Redo, rework, that word re is a problem. Republican, that's a problem. Anything is re, mean you have to do it over, basically. But again, we have to understand one thing. We're going to have what we have because it's not for black people, per se. You have 12.5% of the population. You are not the person, when you're looking at TV screen and see a football game, you see 90% white people looking at the game at every stadium. It's not for you. They don't build a stadium for you. They don't build nothing for you, basically, because you don't have the money, the resources to get there. You look in the stadium out there, look at basketball, football, baseball, look at all the sports and taxpayers build this. But you can't go because your average salary in a household is $33,000 a year, where the average white is almost $70,000. So, no, you can't go. They're not building nothing for you. Understand that. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. You are 12.5% of the population. And 7% of people can't even vote. You got 5% voters. Understand numbers. We talk a lot of rhetoric, but we don't talk numbers. Numbers is the key. Everything is a number. How much you make an hour? What's your job pay? Everything is a number. Understand numbers. I don't understand rhetoric. Never will. When you go to the store to buy anything, you need some money. If you ain't got no money, you can't buy nothing. And the thing is, they have 26 think tanks that study black America. 26 of them. My thing is, what are they studying? Well, I know what they're studying. We are the profit margin of America. The little money that we make, that $1.3 trillion that we spend, $1.3 trillion that we spend, it goes directly to them for a lot of things we cannot do. How much, I mean, us can buy Super Bowl tickets. How that we look at it, we look at, you know, whatever. We can't afford a $6,000 ticket and go there and everything else. We can't afford all that. All we can do is raise hell, make a lot of noise, wear shirts, all we can do. Understand the dynamics, what goes on in the USA of America. It takes money. It's a capitalist system. It takes money to live here. This is all about the money. Can't nobody live off $7 and, what, 25 cents an hour? Can't nobody live off of that. Nobody. Not here. Understand the numbers. Understand who you are, what you are. Understand your ethnicity. Understand you're still the lowest denominator. Anything you look at, you're going to see white, Asian, Hispanic, black. We are number four, whether we like it or not. That's where they write all the books. They write everything. All the information belongs to them. What you going to do? You can't backlash nobody because you don't have no economic power. Can't backlash nobody. You can be whatever you want to be. I'm just a human being, that's all. I understand the system that I'm in. I understand it. I got to have insurance. I got to live somewhere. I got to eat. These are things, I got to have shelter, things I got to have. Understand you have no culture. You have a borrowed culture. It's diluted, which means borrowed. You copying what somebody else is doing. That's all you're doing. You can say what you want to say, what you are. You can be anything you want to be. I'm just a human being copying a culture that I live in because you don't have a culture. They took it from you. Took it. Came with enslaved ships. They took your name. You had no clothes on, no shoes, no pants, no nothing, no language, no nothing, no religion. You had nothing. Everything is diluted that you have today. Everything is diluted. It's borrowed. Everything you do is.
Let me stop it right there, Susie. Any comments you would like to make before we talk about the next few minutes? Future Mr. Pages, what they plan on doing in 2016 in the comments.
The only thing I can say is hopefully if everyone will still work with the community to get our people out to vote in November, we can make a change. It may not be as significant as we wanted, but at least we can make a change to make sure that we don't have one of the reasons Mr. Jordan said to get back in there.
Okay, with the last few minutes we have, what would we like to do for our listening audience? This is Mr. Page of History. Like, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming year, 2016. What's in plan? When in store? What are some of the aspirations Mr. Page of History would like to achieve for 2016? You give our listening audience a sense of what is in store for them and what Mr. Page of History would like to do and achieve for this year.
So we like to get more high information, not low information, but high information. Understand the system that you live in. You won't be able to change the system because it's already been set up by the Constitution. You're not going to do a whole lot with that. But you have to change the locality. You got to change the police departments. Get elected. Get elected to the city council, to the school boards. These are changes that you can do by voting, by going out. These are changes you actually can do. Your community should reflect the people in the community. You shouldn't have a Ferguson. How many Fergusons are there? 500? But you got majority of African Americans, and the police department is all white, or just about close to being all white. The school board all white. Why you sit there educating is what it is. You got to change the locale. If we need to boycott or do sanctions, what do we need to do? Let's stop shopping so much on Christmas and, and these other days. Let's say, we know something, we ain't doing that. So once you hit a system that we have here, which is capitalism, you hit them in the pocketbook. Once you hit the pocketbook, they understand. They understand jobs. They understand everything. They don't only understand through money. See, because you're a sub. For their concern, you're a subhuman. You're three-quarters of a person. Understand that. Understand the Dred Scott decision. Understand this. This is what they hop on. But understand someone has a little morality. Ain't nobody going to be perfect. Nobody. But I'm saying to black people right now, our best chance of having anything is solidifying what President Obama tried to do, but got knocked down because you got a controlled house of Republicans that don't like you. Period. Period. Miss Clinton do like you a little bit. Yeah, but this is not for us. This is for the 88% that this country consists of, 40% Germans, 30% Irish. Understand the numbers I'm talking about here. Who makes up this country? I don't have to talk about Jesse Owens, what Hitler did with Jesse Owens. You got the same folk running this country. They're called Germans. We don't know what we're talking about. They go get your almanac and find out what's going on. Look in the world, think like things, see what's going on. Understand the authenticity who makes up this country, who making the rules. You got a boy in the house right now. You got a boy named Ryan. He ain't nothing but the devil. One just left. He got sick of the devil, so he left. He was nothing but a drunkard nowhere. He made a face, quiet all the time. But understand exactly what we got here. We can't change. 12% of the population can't change nothing. Not going to change anything. We don't have the money to change anything. Understand, you live in capitalism. Understand capitalism. People talk at rhetoric. What are the numbers? Who hires somebody? Black people hire a half a person. Which half are you hiring? The wage up or the wage down? White people hire over 12.5 people in their businesses. 12. You can't hire half a person. Understand what's going on here. We can talk all that crazy, want to talk that crazy stuff you want to, but I'm telling you what it is. You look for a job. The Willie Lynch letter said it all. We need to read the Willie Lynch letter, and that will tell you where you stand. Because that's still being practiced. That control is being practiced today. A little more sophisticated. So if you put a suit and a necktie on, you ain't about nothing. You're the same human being or the same person they're talking about. Just try to be a human being, first of all. Do the best you can, doing the best you can, as long as you can. Understand exactly where you live. That's the best place to live in the world, and you can at least get a job, get some money, buy some clothes, buy some food, stay somewhere, in a hut or somewhere. Understand where you live. You're not going to change what's going on here. You're not going to change this. You're going to creep a little bit at a time to get into, you might say, the populace. A little bit at a time you're going to get into it. Not much.
Okay, on that note, Emmanuel, we've got to stop you. We are running out of time. This is Missing Pages of History. We would like to thank all those who participated today, and we'd like to remind you that our quarterly Rapper Jordan fundraiser has been extended to February the 20th at 1 p.m. on WCLM, and we are continuing to have our cap and t-shirt fundraiser. You can purchase a cap and t-shirt by contacting one of our members. You can reach out to us also by phone at 804-726-3217 or go directly to our website. Go to our website, which is located at www.mphinc.org. This is a biweekly program. We're here to serve underserved communities and want to make humanity better. Until next time, let's continue to strive to go forward and fill in our missing pages of history. We thank you for your support and for the support of today's program. We'll see you on 2 weeks from now, which will be February 13 at 1 p.m.